and welcome to the Dorsey Wright & Associates weekly podcast for Wednesday, March 26th. I'm Susan Morrison, and joining me is Jay Gregani.
Good morning.
Afternoon
it is by now, as we're recording this afternoon, a little bit later.
Yeah. Well, as we say the date of 3/26, basically what comes to mind is the fact that we are only a few days till the end of the first quarter. It's gone fast,
and if you you look at the S&P and the market, you think, it's been a pretty mild, pretty tame quarter so far, right?
And kind of it has, in the sense if you look at the returns on the S&P 500, it's basically flat for all intents and purposes, with the S&P, I think, just shy of being up a percent. Yeah. And really, when you look at all the major market averages, they're all maybe up about a percent. Now, after today, we don't know how that'll end up, but point being, not much has happened if you just were to look at the returns of the major market indexes. You would not have even realized that we had some fits and starts in mid-January, early February, when we had a roughly 6% drawdown in the S&P 500. But really, the story is underneath the surface, that there has been plenty going on among the different sectors when we look at them for the past 3 months.
Yeah, past 3 months, and it's interesting because you're looking at just the performance of these sectors, and the one of the ones that's sitting up there at the top is pretty interesting, and precious metals has been the best performing so far this year and over almost the first 3 months of the year. And it was one of those sectors that very early on in January began to get some interest. And with the whole January barometer idea is that those sectors that do well in January tend to do well for the next, for the rest of the year. And precious metals, I just remember seeing that up there and thinking that's pretty interesting that precious metals, a group that has been just flat out of favor for a while, has crept up there. And it's continued to keep pace, in terms of the leadership groups on a year-to-date basis. Another one up there being biotechs. Biotechs for a year or so now, or even more, have been a leadership area, as well as semis and drugs also being up there at the top. And that's just if you look over the past 3 months. It's a very different story when you begin to look at what's happened over the past, say, couple weeks to 1 month.
Right. And really what's interesting, too, is that you bring up biotech and semis. They're sectors that actually had reasonable performances last year.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, biotech in that leadership kind of a role amongst other sectors. But when you talk about precious metals, that was truly the worst performing sector for 2013. It was truly a laggard by all definitions, poor relative strength, poor absolute price performance. But there were other sectors as well that you would have considered laggards last year, and a lot of them were the more defensive sectors, the ones that were more yield-oriented. A lot of clients and investors went away from, say, value and dividend yield, and they went to the growth areas. They were willing to take a bit more risk to get their return. And so they kind of threw to the curb the utility-type stocks, the real estate stocks, and they all had very lackluster years, especially compared to the S&P 500, as we know, that had a hallmark year up almost 30% at 29.6% gain for 2013. But you had, say, the real estate sector that was actually down 0.25%, and you had electric utilities, which was only up 12%. Granted, had a positive return, but obviously well below the S&P 500. So these are groups that were truly in a laggard type of condition. But as you kind of mentioned, you reeled off some of the ones that have been leaders so far, such as precious metals. But when you look over the past 3 months, you have to say that real estate and the electric and gas utilities are also, they're in the top 10 as far as performance for the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah. So maybe people are coming back to some of the more defensive sectors. And even over the past month, it's been pretty interesting because the past month has been where we've seen and felt a lot of the pain so far this year. January, the pullback we saw back in January has kind of moved out of most people's minds, and it's been the past couple weeks where if you're following any kind of momentum relative strength-based strategy, you're likely invested in a lot of those sectors that you mentioned, a lot of those ones that are up at the top, which are the ones like the biotechs and internets and drugs and even precious metals to an extent. Those are the ones that have been the worst performing over the past month. So you've seen this pullback correction in the market where the S&P over the past month is actually up. The S&P index has advanced a little bit. the Dow Jones Industrial Average has advanced a little bit. The S&P Eco Weighted has advanced. However, the leadership sectors, by and large, have not only pulled back, but pulled back in a rather notable fashion, to the extent that biotechs and just the biotech index is down about 13% over the course of the past month. And internet is down almost 5%. Precious metals down 5%. Drugs down 4%. So you've seen a consolidation, if you will, and I don't even know that you can call it a pullback in the S&P because the S&P is still up, but you've seen a consolidation and pullback in a lot of the high relative strength areas. Mm-hmm. A lot of the areas that you mentioned from last year were leadership groups that tend to be the higher beta ones, the, mm-hmm. the sectors that investors wanted more risk or were willing to take more risk to get the higher return. Whatever the reason, taking profits now this year, but a lot of those things have pulled back and in many cases have pulled back to some pretty interesting levels.
Right.
You know, you haven't seen the long-term change, long-term relative strength picture of any of these groups that we've mentioned change. What you've seen in the case of biotechs, which has been at the forefront of many phone calls that I've had over the past few days, is, you know, biotechs and internets in particular, is these sectors have continue to show well on a relative strength basis. Their ranking continues to be high on a long-term relative strength basis. But you look at, and we pull up the chart of the PBE, for instance, Papa Boietti, and that's a PowerShares biotech ETF. That particular ETF continues to trade in a strong positive trend, and it's actually working on what would be considered to be a shakeout pattern, which is a bullish chart pattern that we follow on a point and figure chart. And that the scores still are very high, and they're trading right at the middle of their trading band. So you step back for a second and say, well, what do I do here, and what does all this stuff mean? And you know, right now what it means is we've seen pullbacks. We've seen levels that were sitting there a month ago saying, geez, I wish I owned it, or I wish I owned more of it. And we're looking now at situations where they're presenting some opportunities. If you're looking to add new money, not to say you have to, but if you're looking to add new money, certainly much, much more attractive in some of those higher relative strength areas today than they were a month ago.
Right, right. And that's, I think, what you have. You can't get shaken out of something that you wanted to own that had gotten away from you to the upside just because it pulls back. It's doing exactly what you wanted it to do.
Right.
So to give you the opportunity.
Exactly, yeah.
And really what you have to realize with relative strength, and I think this is the underlying point of what we're saying, is that leadership is not made within a month or 3 months.
Right, yeah.
Longer-term relative strength changes can start that way. We don't know that utilities or real estate might not be moving into a lasting condition of leadership, but there's not enough evidence yet to support that. Nor can we sit there and say that biotechs or internet is giving up its leadership role. We have to wait for more evidence. And typically, relative strength, when we've done all of our different studies of how we can evaluate the robustness of relative strength as a factor, it typically shows that anywhere between a 6 to 12 month time range is the most effective time range in determining relative strength leadership type roles. So we're not yet to that point with, say, the real estate sectors or the utilities, or whether biotech's giving up or not fully. So what you have to do is realize that, as JG mentioned, these are opportunities for those leadership sectors that have pulled back, because you can't yet sit there and throw them to the curb because there's not enough evidence, nor should you necessarily go out and load the boat in real estate or utilities. But what it does suggest is that you, if you don't have any of this exposure to, say, real estate and utilities, when we are getting to a point where volatility is picking up in the market, you may have clients calling you saying, hey, I wouldn't mind throwing a few yield ideas in my portfolio to kind of tamp down some of the volatility of the portfolio, maybe get some yield coming in there. Then you can take some pilot positions. You don't want to necessarily take an overweighted posture yet to, say, the utilities or real estate area, for example. But you can at least take pilot positions in an underweighted fashion so that if, in fact, this does turn into a new leadership role, you have at least a part of your foot in the stirrup to ride it.
Yeah, and you know, one of the best things to do is, if it's evaluating a position you're thinking about owning, take the name off the top of it. Mm-hmm. Or cover up the name and ask yourself, is this something, the picture of something that I would want to own, or is this the picture of something that I'd want to sell? And there certainly are things out there that, you know, are in negative trends and you wouldn't want to own. But it's a great way to kind of objectively step back, take the emotional attachment to whether it's the stock, the sector, the country, whatever it might be that you're evaluating. It helps remove some of that emotional attachment to that and make a decision based on the evidence that's being presented.
Yeah. Now, to that end, one way for you to be able to kind of get a snapshot evaluation as to whether the stock is moving into or the sector is moving into a leadership role is just looking at our favored sector status.
Yeah.
That will not only evaluate relative strength in several different ways, but it will also evaluate trend. And so if you look at, say, our different favored sector spectrums for either the broad 10 Dow Jones groups or our Dorsey Wright 40 groups, you can see that food, real estate, gas utilities, electric utilities, those lower beta, lower volatility type sectors that have the yield typically associated to them, dividend yield, they're still unfavored.
Right.
Whereas if you look at the areas that are still favored yet have maybe paused, consumer cyclicals, for example, healthcare with biotech being part of that. So these sectors are still favored. They've not yet lost that longer-term relative strength or trend characteristics associated with them. And yet you haven't seen enough improvement to see the utilities or the real estate move into that favored camp. But it's a great snapshot link to visit on a regular basis and just watch for any migration among favored to unfavored or vice versa to see really where those sector opportunities lie and if new leadership roles are presenting themselves or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those areas, not necessarily one of the higher yielding, but one of the ones that from a sector level that's still unfavored that was pretty interesting was the oil sector recently. And it came up as a result of the PT chart for that sector. So PT standing for positive trend, and the percent of stocks within the oil sector that are in a positive trend. That indicator that we follow reversed back up in X's, suggesting that there's a number of oil stocks that are moving back into positive trends here recently. And it moved to X's at 50%. So we're now at a point in the oil sector where a majority of stocks are trading in positive trends. So it's kind of going back to what you said earlier, it's still an unfavored area, but it's something to watch. You're starting to see some positive action from a trending perspective on that. A name like an ExxonMobil that's mm-hmm. Big name, decent yield, about 2.6% yield. It's a stock that has three positive attributes, so it fits the bill of technically sound when you're looking at some individual opportunities out there. Not to say that there's not stronger stocks out there. Some of the other, not necessarily the large integrated oil companies like an Exxon, not necessarily that those are the leaders, but there's some names out there in the oil sector that are looking pretty interesting, that are doing some good things. One, Carrizo Oil and Gas is one, CRZO, that has come up here recently. That's pretty good looking picture within the oil space. So certainly something to take a look at.
Yeah, and if you look, with the market getting a little bit more volatile, picking back up into some volatility mm-hmm. where one day we're up 100, down 100. It's kind of getting like it was earlier in the year, in January, mid-January, for example. So clients may be asking you about, what about the volatility here? What do you say about it? And this is where I think it's interesting to note the standard deviation for the different sectors. And when you look at the standard deviation and what we did was we looked at the past 3 years, the monthly standard deviation for our different 40 sectors. And the ones at the top are precious metals and biotech and building and gaming stocks and steel stocks. Those are the ones that have the greatest standard deviation. And where you look at the S&P 500, it's actually quite tepid at a reading of 12.67. And there's only two sectors that actually have a lower standard deviation than the S&P 500. And it's the food stocks, the food sector, and electric utilities.
That makes sense.
And just right above that would be the gas utilities and drug stocks. So, for example, it shows you that if clients are getting nervous about the volatility, and we've been, paint the whole picture together, we're saying that the 3-month RS has improved for utilities, not so much for food stocks, but definitely for the utilities and real estate to a lesser extent, that now's a chance to say, hey, this is an area of an idea area for you if you want to tamp down your volatility, maybe put yourself in a position where relative strength's picking up, and also provide some yield for the account in a more defensive way. So I think when you wrap it all up, it's a reasonable thing to take to clients. And a couple names that we came across, and as JG mentioned, you still need to focus, especially if you're going into a sector that's not yet considered favored. Be sure that all the other technical attributes line up for the individual name itself. So you want to buy the best in class, so to speak. Mm-hmm. A name like Next Era Energy, which is the old Florida Power and Light. They changed their name and their symbol. Rather than be FPL, it is now NEE. And you cover up the name, like you said, and this stock looks fantastic. You would never know that it was a utility stock that's kind of been out of favor. It is a 5-for-5, meaning it's got great relative strength and trend characteristics itself. It's got a price objective up around 119, and it's got a yield a little over 3%. So this is the kind of name you can take to your client knowing that you've done your homework on a technical basis and potentially tamp down the volatility in the account while also offering some dividend yield and potentially putting them in a position of maybe a new leadership role.
Yeah.
And in the real estate area, LaSalle Hotel Properties, symbol LHO. This is another example of a strong attribute name in the real estate area breaking out of a big base. It's a 4-for-5 itself on its technical attributes and has a yield close to 3.5%. So there are names out there in these unfavored sectors that are reasonable to consider in an underweighted fashion, just to at least take pilot positions in.
Well, so here's another yield idea in a favored sector that has recently seen a pretty notable technical breakout in the stock that you might heard of.
Johnson & Johnson?
Apple Computers.
Apple Computers.
You know, Apple Computers. Johnson & Johnson is one that looks pretty interesting, too. But yeah, Apple Computers is now back into a positive trend, a bullish triangle breakout back into a positive trend, and it's seen its attributes uptick to a 3-for-5. And it's got a yield of 2.25%.
Now, who would have thought that?
Who would have thought Apple would have been
considered a
yield idea? So,
yeah.
But there you have it. If it's something, you know, Apple Computer is a yield idea, it certainly meets the favorite sector criteria. Way to the evidence for the stock is positive, and it's got a little yield in there to boot. So 2.25% on a $540 stock is not bad.
Not so bad. Well, with that, we'll leave you with that Apple note, and we'll be back with you next week, and we hope you have a great week, and don't worry, we'll keep you posted on any leadership changes that we see in the sector front.